Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368. Results, reaction and analysis to the latest football, rugby, hockey action on the Isle of Man and further afield. Without further ado, we'll dive straight into the classified results across Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey for today, Saturday the 25th of October 2025. Starting with football. The Canada Life Men's Premier League. Laxey 4, Peel 5. Onken 2, Foxdale 2. St John's United 6, Braddon 1. St Mary's 6, Union Mills 2. Ramsey vs Corinthians postponed. Ayr United 2, Rushen United 3. Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2. Maroun 5, Governors Athletic 0. St George's 3, Maloo 3. Castletown 5, Colby 3. Pulrose United 9. Douglasson District 1. Canada Life Combination 1. Peel 6. Laxey 3. Foxdale 2. Unken 23. Braddon 3. St John's United 4. Union Mills 2. St Mary's 7. Corinthians vs Ramsey postponed. Rushen United vs Ayr United, a home walkover to Rushen United, Ayr United unable to field a team. Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2. Douglasson District 0, Michael United 9. Governors Athletic 1, Maroun 6. Ramsey Centre on Old Boys vs Douglas Athletic is a late result. Maloo 7, St George's 3. Jims 2, Pulrose United 6. Colby 8. Castletown 1. Turning now to rugby. Regional 2 North West. Birkenhead Park 24. Douglas 32. Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. Clitheroe 59. Ramsey 12. The Hartford Homes Manx Shield. Southern Nomads 19. Western Vikings 22. Turning now to Isle of Man hockey. The Mixed Premier League. Castletown Southerners 0, Backers B 7. Mixed Division 1. Harlequins B vs Vikings C. Match abandoned after 13 minutes due to a player injury. Game to be replayed at a later date. Ramsey A vs Backers C. Awaiting result. Valkyries C 1. Valkyries B 5. Mixed Division 2. Ramsey Ravens 1. Backers Mixed Colts 2. Vikings D 3. Castletown Cushags 2. Castletown Camags vs Castletown Cosney postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. Mixed Division 3. Castletown Carrick 2. Harlequins C 2. Vikings E 0. Valkyries D 6. Backers D 7. Harlequins D 3. Backers Mixed Bucks 4. Ramsey Rookies 1. And in the Mixed Under 15s League, Valkyries vs Castletown Sabres awaiting result. Those are your classified results for Isle of Man football, rugby and hockey for today, Saturday, the 25th of October 2025. And as always, if you hear of any of the outstanding results, of which we do still have a few across football and hockey in particular, if you do have any details, please do get in touch with us either via text or email 166177 or WhatsApp for that matter as well on 166177. We'd love to put those details out there. We're going to turn our attention to football first of all. Incidentally, game ongoing in the NWCFL Premier Division as well. It is currently City of Liverpool 1, FC Isle of Man 2 with 20 minutes to go. FC Isle of Man led by 2 goals to 0 at half-time, goals from Joe Middleton and Dean Pinnington. City of Liverpool have actually pulled one back in the last 5 minutes or so. So with 20 minutes to go there, it is currently City of Liverpool 1, FC Isle of Man 2 in the NWCFL Premier Division with the match ongoing. Let's turn our attention though to what seems to have been a thoroughly entertaining day once again in Manx football and bring back our football correspondent, Tony Meppam. Tony, a very good evening. And before we get get into the results and other matters, actually, we should come to as well. It's been a busy day in Manx football, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And, you know, at the start of the day, it just looked a little bit unsure of what was going on after one or two games were cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances. And, you know, a couple of teams have really stepped up to the mark today, and a couple of teams who you expected to maybe get something out of the opposition, it didn't quite happen. So league tables, a massive change in them in the Premier League, Combination 1, Div 2 and Combi 2. But a huge score in Combination 1, and we'll come to that very shortly.
We will indeed. But actually, Tony, I think we have to start the programme tonight on a rather sad note, unfortunately, because there has been a loss this week in the footballing community here on the Isle of Man that was announced this morning. Ramsey Football Club have announced the sad death of club member Harry Gillings and have issued a tribute today as well. Ramsey AFC, this is their statement that was issued in full this morning following the sad passing of Harry Gillings. We are absolutely devastated by the news of the loss of such a huge character within our club. As a mark of respect, and while we come to terms with this, there will be no match today. We thank Corinthians and the FA for their understanding and support. Harry may not have played for Ramsey beyond junior level, but he was worth so much more than that to us. He was a great friend, admired and loved by everyone who knew him. Harry always had time for anyone and everyone, and would often lend a hand on match days without ever being asked. That was Harry. A true friend and one of a kind. We'll miss you, mate. So many great memories have been shared, and you'll always be remembered forever and Albert. That is Ramsey AFC's tribute following the sad death of club member Harry Gillings. And Tony, we can talk about plenty of things that happen on the pitch in football over the course of a season, over the course of life. But when a situation like this occurs, it hits the football community hard and indeed the island as a whole.
Absolutely, and this is where the football community have to come together because, you know, when you look at recently Kieran Broadhead, we lost Kieran, and then yesterday Paul Lemaire's funeral took place, an absolute star at Foxdale Football Club and at Moran as well. And unfortunately today the news of Harry came through last night, and the Isle of Man FA on this, they take it so serious, and whatever the clubs want to do, the Isle of Man FA will accept, and it was only right for the two clubs, or the two teams, I should say, of Ramsey, to sit this one out. And Corinthians were more than happy to not have a fixture. But, you know, it's sad all round. But we have to remember these people, what they've done for the clubs. And certainly in Harry's case, OK, maybe not have played for Ramsey, but played a huge part behind the scenes. And to find those sort of people who don't play football are very, very hard. It might be someone a little bit older, who's retired and wants to carry on supporting the club. But in Harry's case, he just wanted to be with his friends. And that's what he was right the way through. And a recent holiday with them all, it was good fun. But unfortunately, Harry's not with us now. And on behalf of the Isle of Man Football Association, and I think on the other 25 registered clubs on the Isle of Man, we wish Ramsey all the best in this difficult time for them, and also to Harry's family. Big loss, big character lost, and unfortunately, it's the way life goes.
Indeed. Well, yes, as you can hear, tributes being paid to Ramsey Football Club following the sad passing of club member Harry Gillings. And you can read the full statement from Ramsey AFC over at manxradio.com. Elsewhere today, there was plenty of footballing action across the senior men's divisions, and we start by taking a look at the result that took place at Glen Road. Laxey started the day second in the table, Tony. 6 wins and 2 draws from their opening 8, so undefeated, coming up against the defending champions Peel. And it's the visitors who've taken the points, and Tony, this looks like, on the scoreline at the very least, an absolute cracker of a game today at Glen Road.
Absolutely, and I've got a bit of report on this one, Rob, if you want it, and later on, if we run out of time, just let me know. But Laxey started off slowly to allow Peel to go 1-0 up after 3 minutes, with Taylor Andrews scoring with a shot from the right and putting it past Pickering to slot into the bottom left. Laxey then started turning up the heat, and with Brody Patience just putting it wide then on 16 minutes, Laxey got that goal. They were, after a free kick from Adam Meelan, to the end up finding Ben Wazza to slot at home to get the game carried on, with end-to-end from both teams going for that goal. But neither could get it, with both goalkeepers making fine saves. So at half-time, it ended up Laxey 1, Peel 1. In the second half, Laxey started strong, but on 47 minutes, Peel went 2-1 up with a fine one-touch football from the half to find Jason Charmer, who scored four last week, but today just with the one, who slotted it past Aidan Pickering. A minute later, Peel went down to 10 men, with Sean Brown being sin-binned. Laxey once again started to turn a screw and got their second from the penalty spot, with Brody Patience slotting it past Dawson, and the game kept going end-to-end. But on the 60th minute, up pops Israel Dunn to head it past Pickering, and then 3 minutes later, Peel got a corner with an OG. Now, it says OG, but I've been told it was Daniel Bell, so we'll get that one checked. But Peel's momentum built on Laxey, and it was Ed Canner who slipped past the Peel's defence to slot it past Dawson on the 90th minute. And Laxey thought they got a point out of the game with it standing at 4-4. But up that man stepped Lee Gale to glance a header in past the keeper at the back of the net to give Peel all 3 points. And it was Peel 5, Laxey 4. And just to go through the goal scorers, Ben Wazza got two. And it was Brody Patience with one of them, and Ed Canner. And then for Peel, it was Taylor Andrews, Jason Charmer, Israel Dunn, Daniel Bell. And it was Lee Gale with that clinical goal in the last minute to clinch the game for Peel.
Well, with that result, that means Peel moved themselves up the table after playing seven games. So they played two fewer than Laxey, but Peel moving up to fifth on 14 points. Toward the top of the table, as we've heard already, Corinthians and Ramsey, the games between both clubs in both the Premier League and Combination One postponed today following the sad news affecting Ramsey. So Corinthians remain top of the table on 21 points. Laxey, that's their first defeat of the season on 20, just in behind them. And Onchan in third, therefore, will have had the chance to actually, well, they could have actually ended up top of the table had they got 3 points today. That's not the case because they've been held by Foxdale, who get their first points of the season, a 2-2 draw against Onchan, Tony.
Yeah, well done to Foxdale on this one. And it was Tom Creer got one and Ethan Levers got the other for Onchan. But I believe that Onchan had a wedding on yesterday, so one or two drinks I think were taken, and maybe one or two players just under the weather. Haven't got Foxdale's two goal scorers, so if someone could text us through, please, that'd be handy. But another point for Foxdale, which helps them, or should say a point for Foxdale, so it draws them a little bit closer to Old Boys. But Foxdale have now played nine for 1 point, and you've got Douglas High School Old Boys who played nine for four. And just above them in the 11th position is Braddon, who have played 9-4-5. So it's tight down at the bottom, but Foxdale could be a big point for them at the end of the season.
Indeed. Then over to Mullinacloe, Chloe, St John's United took on Braddon. St John's United starting mid-table, Braddon just above the relegation zone. A big 3 points and a big scoreline, if you like, for St John's United. They've beaten Braddon by 6-1.
Yeah, great result. And, you know, with St John's pretty well full strength today. I know one or two sort of players were missing in there, James Rice being one of them and Liam Sale the other one. But Paul Whitehead had a really good day. He got two goals. Callum Taggart got one of the goals. Reece Oates, Joe Quayle and Bradley Calvert. I think that's his first goal, first team goal for his new club. So well done to him. And it was Joe Burrows who got the consolation goal for Braddon. 6-1 it finished to St John's.
And in the early kickoff, St Mary's took on Union Mills at the Bowl. St Mary's coming out on top in that one. That moves them up to sixth in the table. St Mary's, they move out of St John's United on goal difference. They've beaten Union Mills by 6-2. And Union Mills just 3 points above the drop zone at the moment.
They are, and they're looking a little bit nervous because today I think they got it back to 1-1. It was Mark Wolfenden, star of the show. He got a hat-trick. Therese Thompson got one. Josh Evans on the score sheet, and Chris Asbridge with the other goal for St Mary's. But Tyler Hughes has two goals for Union Mills. Couldn't sort of get anything out of the game for them. And St Mary's keep in touch for the Railway Cup. St Mary's now played 9-4-12, a little bit off the top two or three, but they'll be looking at sort of rushing, see if they can catch up. But the one you've got to look out for is Peel. Played 7-14. So you put the two games in hand as 6 points for them. That will put them on 20 and joint second. So it's still all to play for with three games to go for the Railway Cup finals.
Indeed, a consideration in the next few weeks, the Railway Cup positioning and qualification. Reminder as well, Ramsey versus Corinthians in the Premier League postponed today. The other game in the top flight was up at Andras Plainfields, Ayr United hosting Russian United here. And Russian United, incidentally, looking to keep pace with the leading trio of Corinthians, Laxey and Onken going into the weekend. They've managed to do that with Onken dropping points against Foxdale. Russian United have taken 3 points and a 3-2 win away at Ayr United today. So Russian United moved to within a point of Onken in third.
Yeah, hopefully I've got the timing of the goals right here for you, Rob. But Russian took the lead, Stevie Riding after 12 minutes. And then it was 1-1, I think, Alfie Scott on 64 minutes. And then 6 minutes later, Stevie Riding got his second of the game to make it 2-1 to Russian. I've got Collister down here who scored four, so we'll check on that one. But it was Chris Kelly who made it sure on 87 minutes to make it Russian United 3, Ayr United 1.
Yeah, Jamie Collister with the second goal for Ayr United this afternoon. Turning then to Ardern and Drug Unlimited, Division 2, and there was one big standout game today. First versus second, the leaders Colby travelling to second-placed and southern rivals Castletown today. And what a comeback story today from the hosts. They found themselves 3 goals down and roared back to win Castletown. They've beaten Colby by 5-3 to go back to the top of Division 2.
Absolutely spot on, Rob, and what a scoreline that must have been for Colby when you're looking at a 3-0 lead. Carl Hickey with two of the goals, Jordan Edge got the other one, so absolutely cruising the game. But the character set in for Castletown and they worked so hard. Lucas Simmons, who's got a lot of pace on him, he got two of the goals. Ross Crawford got one. Alex Crawley on the score sheet once again, and an own goal. So great comeback by Castletown. My apologies for predicting them to lose. So they've proved me wrong once again. And Castletown, you know, at the top of the table, when you look at it now, played 8 for 21. And Colby have played now 9 games for 20. So nice and tight between those two teams.
Broadcaster's curse, Tony, happens to the best of us.
I know.
Elsewhere, toward the bottom of the table, St George's have picked up their first point of the season. They've managed a 3-3 draw against Malou, Tony. And from what I understand, this was a bit of a wild end to the game. Malou finishing the game with 8 men.
It is. And thanks, Dean Turton, for coming back. And he's got St George's 3, Malou 3. His exact words, and I've got to give him some stick. I won't send a report. My hands have stopped working because it is so cold. Come on, Dean, buy some gloves. But a mental end to the game. Malou finished with 8 players on the pitch after 2 reds and a sin bin. Geordies thought they'd won it with 2 minutes to go, only for Malou to equalise in the dying seconds. St George's goals came from Kieran Jochen, Chris Kelly, and Jay Gandy got pushed over the line, and Kieran McNulty got the other one. But Malou, it was Daniel Thurwell, Kieran Douglas and Kieran Kripner who got the goals.
Elsewhere, Maroun taking a 5-0 victory at home to Governors Athletic. And at the moment, with the results that we have in as well, Maroun moving up to fourth in the table. And just 1 point behind Ramsey, who sent an All Boys in third, who didn't have a game today.
No, they didn't. And let's look at the Maroun game. 2-0 up at half-time. Haven't got the goal scorers. Not too sure if you've got them, Rob.
I don't have those details in front of me, I'm afraid.
Okay, they're usually pretty good to send them through on a text here, but hopefully they'll work on that now. But 3 goals in the second half, 2 in the first half, clinched the 3 points from around 5-0 win.
And the fourth and final game in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 saw Paul Rose United hosting Douglaston District. Douglaston District headed to Paul Rose United after picking up their first point of the season last weekend in a 1-1 draw with Douglas Royal. Incidentally, they only picked up 3 points all of their last league campaign. Well, a tougher scoreline for them today. Can't repeat the feat in getting points on the board. Paul Rose United emerging as comprehensive winners by 9-1.
Yeah, and Joe Canepa, it was scored 2 of the goals on 46 minutes and 90 as well. Owen Canepa scored 2 goals, the 50th minute and 55, so good spell for him, 10 minutes into the second half. Barry English got a goal in the first couple of minutes of the second period, and Dylan Vick as well. So when you look at that, Rob, Paul Rose scored on the 46th, the 47th, the 49th, the 50th and the 55th minute. Wow. That's some stat, that one. But D&D, I know they had to change things around, and I'm not too sure who played in goal for them, but certainly Paul Rose are a good side. And when you look at the league table, Rob, Paul Rose now move above Ramsey Centre. They're into third place.
Very well. Moving into the Combination Leagues, Canada Life Combination 1, Peel beating Laxey by 6-3, and that looks like Peel are actually leapfrogging Laxey in the table on goal difference with that result.
Yeah, it is. And when you look at Peel, they've got lots of goals being scored in that Combination 1. And Aaron Castain, who got 7 last week, only 1 today. Toby Little with a couple of goals. George Taylor, well done, George. And you make your dad proud. I'll speak to him on Monday and see how good it was. And it was Ryan Tate and Alex Brown who got the other one. It was for Laxey, Eric Hill, I think, got 2 of the goals, and Alfie Price got the other one.
Elsewhere, and I was surprised to hear this coming out of your mouth, Tony, because this is usually the sort of scoreline we hear from Dave Christian on the rugby side of things. This really did catch me off guard, because it finished Foxdale 2, Onken 23.
Yeah, and I'm glad to say Onken haven't put the scorers in, to be honest with you, because otherwise you might need an extension on your programme. But, you know, let's give credit to Foxdale. They couldn't field the team last week. Today they did. And to concede 23 goals, there's many a year you've got to look back, Rob, to find out a scoreline like that. It'd have to be something like, I think, was it St George's against Douglas Royal up at Bala Fletcher, if I remember rightly. We've had a couple of other big ones as well. But, you know, heads up, they'll go again next week. But certainly to beat any team by 21 clear goals takes some doing, and we'll try and get you the goal scorers later on.
Okay, and elsewhere, 7-goal thriller between Braddon and St John's United. St John's United just about coming out on top in this one, winning away at Braddon by 4-3.
Yeah, and I think certainly with St John's here, there were one or two sort of players missing, but I haven't got their goal scorers. But for Braddon, it was Lex Meady who got 2 of the goals. Ben O'Neill got the other one. And again, if St John's can text you in the studio, 166-177, and we'll give the score as I mentioned.
Absolutely. And then at Gary Moore, it finished Union Mills 2, St Mary's 7.
Yeah, and we've just had a correction on that one, Rob. We'll again check on that one, but we've got just coming through the system here. St Mary's have beaten, have won 8-2. So it was Jamie Skillen with 3. Craig Cowan, I believe, a contender for goal of the season. Max Gelling got 1. Darren Smedy on the score sheet. That's Darren Smethurst. Chris Dowling got 1. And Ryan Healy got the other one.
There we go. So, yes, Union Mills 2, St Mary's 8. And the other two games, well, Corinthians versus Ramsey postponed today, and Russian United versus Ayr United. That was awarded as a home walkover to Russian United. Ayr United, unfortunately, unable to field a team this weekend. So before we move on, just a quick reminder of how things look at the top of the table in Canada Life Combination 1. With the respective situations this weekend, both of the top two, Russian United and Ramsey, remain where they are. Russian United, top of the table, Ramsey just behind on goal difference, both on 20 points. Ramsey not playing today. Russian United awarded those points. And then 5 points further back, Corinthians, who were due to play Ramsey, so therefore they did not play today as well. They're ahead on goal difference of St John's United, also on 15 points. They are in fourth at the moment. Over to Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2 then. Douglas and District hosted Michael United. Michael United running out clear winners here, 9-0.
Yeah, I haven't got the goal scorers for Michael, but for Douglas and District, young goalkeeper, baptism of fire, I should say. Ben Qualtro, it's not the Ben Qualtro I know. 16 years of age, Ben Qualtro. So, you know, a new player into the system and had a tough game today, pulling the ball out of the net 9 times. So it was Michael United 9, Douglas and District 0.
And just to very quickly go back to a result you brought before, Tony, just had to thank you very much for texting this in. Some details of St John's United's goal scorers from that Combination 1 game against Braddon. 2 goals for Pedro Cardozo and then 1 apiece for Ray Lovell and John Hagerden. So those were the scorers for St John's United this afternoon. Elsewhere in our Durham Drug Unlimited Combination 2, Governors Athletic beaten at home by Moran by 6-1.
Yeah, it was 3-0 to Moran at half-time, and haven't got Moran's goal scorers, but for Governors, it was Will Mathers, I believe, and 3 under-18s for Governors today. Debut game, so well done to them. Well done to Governors. You know, they've done really well bringing some good young players coming through. They've got an under-18 team. I like the way they call them young govs, and 3 of them played today, but couldn't get the better of Moran. Moran finish up 6-1 winners.
And one of the results we were still waiting on was up in the north of the island between Ramsey Centre and All Boys and Douglas Athletic. Tony, have we had any further updates?
No, we haven't, Rob. Sorry.
All righty then, we'll see if we can get that in the next few minutes. If you are listening out there and you do have any details on that game, Ramsey, you said it all, boys versus Douglas Athletic, please do let us know. Text or WhatsApp 166177. Also, 10 goals at Clackvane today as Malou beat St George's by 7-3.
Yeah, I haven't got the scorers, I'm afraid, but yeah, finished Malou well and truly clear of that one. 4 goals clear. Malou 7, St George's 3.
And I do actually have some goal scorers, the Malou goal scorers from that game as well. There was a hat-trick for Mark Greaves and then a goal apiece for Joe Lewis, Dan Robson, Jordan Krippner and Dunnell Matero as well. So those were your scorers for Malou this afternoon. Two more games took place in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited combination 2. Jim's 2, Pulrose United 6. So Pulrose stay top with a flawless record.
Absolutely flying. And the star of the show today, James Clark, he got 4 of the goals. Tom Vary got 1 and an own goal as well. So Pulrose, as you say, keeping pressure on at the top of the table.
Yeah, Pulrose United, 9 wins from 9 so far. 43 goals scored and just the 10 conceded so far. Elsewhere in the Southern Derby in combination 2 today, it's finished Colby 8, Castletown 1.
Goal scorers for Colby, Jacob Bellard got 2 of the goals. Kieran Horrocks got 2. Jack Fordham with a couple of goals. Jimmy Warren and Ryan Archibald completed the scoring for Pulrose to win that game. Pulrose 6, Jim's 2.
Indeed, we've just had one of the other hockey results on the way through. We'll bring you that in just a moment. It's finished Valkyries 4, Castletown Sabres 2 in the mixed under-15s league. We'll come to the hockey scores in just a few moments. So again, just a quick reminder of how things look at the top of the table in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited combination 2 of the results that have actually been formalised. So things could change. We should caveat that with how things look at the moment. Pulrose United, whatever happens, they will stay top tonight. 9 wins from 9, 27 points. 6 points further back at the start of the day was Ramsey Centre and Old Boys on 21. Still waiting to hear of that game against Douglas Athletic, incidentally in third, so second versus third in that game, and then making up the top four, Maroun moving on to 16 points, just 2 points behind Douglas Athletic. Taking a look at how things are going on into stoppage time in the NWCFL Premier Division at the Community Ground in Burscough, it is still City of Liverpool 1, FC Isle of Man 2, and City of Liverpool down to 10 men going into the final stages. As it stands, FC Isle of Man would be making it 3 games unbeaten for the first time this season if the scoreline were to stay this way. Joe Middleton and Dean Pennington with first half goals, and City of Liverpool pulling 1 goal back in the second period with around 20 minutes to go. Tony, the game ongoing, of course, but if FC Isle of Man were to see this out and go a third game unbeaten, what do you think that might say about the effect that the caretaker boss Rick Holden is having on the team?
Yeah, I think Rick has done an absolutely fantastic job, and I didn't think that he wouldn't, because Rick's got so much experience. And, you know, Paul Jones put his tactics out and players out who he thought could win the game. But I think Rick is, you know, obviously he's a really good coach, a really good sort of person to have in charge of the team, because he'll just get the players to play as he wants them to play. He's very wing orientated, and we've got 2 great wingers if he plays there. Charlie Higgins on the left, and we've got Steve Whitley on the right. And it's getting someone to score that goal in the middle. And for all the work that Joe Middleton puts in, he deserves that goal, because, you know, he's a great player. And he's just learning. He's a young lad, so he will learn as he progresses in this standard of football. But Dean Pennington, if Dean can sort of get a pop at goal, then you've seen his shots. And there's so much power in them, Rob. It's great news. And this will put them in good stead. I don't think they're playing midweek, but they've got a game at home next week. And if they can get that one over the line, then it really does lift them right the way through confidence-wise for that fixture next Saturday.
Tony, thank you very much as always, and people may have noticed or may have not, but Tony isn't actually in the studio in person today. He's in fact off island, so talk about commitment while he's not here on Manx Shores. Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure. Absolutely, Rob.
Thank you, Tony, and you go and enjoy your weekend.
Manx Radio Sport.
Going to turn our attention to rugby now, and 4 Isle of Man sides in action across 3 games today. 2 of those off Ireland, Douglas and Ramsey in Regional 2 North West and County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire respectively. We also had local cup action, specifically the Hartford Homes Manx Shield taking place today. And to take us through everything is our rugby correspondent Dave Christian, who joins us now. Dave, I'm going to start with Regional 2 North West. Douglas with a big win on the road at Birkenhead Park by 32 points to 24. It's now 5 wins in 6 in the league. Douglas going well, aren't they?
Oh, exceptionally well, Rob, exceptionally well. And it's rumoured, not confirmed yet, but it's rumoured this could be their first away win at Birkenhead Park ever. It's a big club, Birkenhead Park, a difficult place to go. Douglas have gone there. They've come away with a win. They've scored four tries as well, so that gives them a bonus point. And they finished 8 points clear of Birkenhead Park, which means Birkenhead Park get nothing from the game. So everything went perfectly for Douglas. There were wins for Sandbach and North Ribblesdale and Vale of Lune, which mean Douglas sitting in fourth place. However, two of those wins were against their nearest rivals, Widnes and Northwich, so Douglas climb above them in the table. They have a game in hand on the three teams above them. A win in that game in hand would put them into second place. Their next game, they have a week off next week. The next game is against Vale of Lune at Portishee on the 8th of November. And Vale of Lune currently in third place. So third against fourth. 8th of November is going to be a belter there at Portishee. Today it was wing Craig Martin who led the way. He went in for two tries. And there were also tries from Matty Wood and stand-in skipper Liam Kirkpatrick. And Matty Wood converted three of the four tries and added two penalties as well. So Douglas remaining very much at the sharp end. And I'm still going to be cautious. We're still a little bit early, but things are looking very positive for them this season. And they thoroughly deserve their beers tonight. 32-24 is a great score away at Birkenhead Park.
Just to stick with Douglas just for a second, not just the points that they're picking up as well, but going into this weekend especially, they have one of the best defensive records in the league as well. So how valuable will that be in terms of giving that stability whilst others are going ahead to win the points at the other end?
Oh, immensely. They have currently the best defensive record. They have played one game less than most other sides, though, so they have a trip to Burnage that still has to be factored in. But, yeah, they've only conceded 127 points in six games, and that is significantly better. Oh, no, North Ribblesdale, 138. So they're pretty close with North Rib. It will depend defensively on that game against Burnage, which I think we don't have a date for just yet. I've just been having a quick scan at the fixture list. I haven't seen it pop up. We'll wait and see when that one gets played. But a mean defence is always going to help. And they've got plenty of pace out wide as well. Craig Martin and Kyle Martin, the twins, one at fullback, one on the wing. They're very difficult once they get into a little bit of space. They're very difficult to stop just because of their sheer pace. But the player who seems to be making the difference this season is at 10. It's Matty Wood. He's not a massive man, but I seen him in that first game against North Ribblesdale driving for the line from 5 metres out. He's very, very strong in a straight line for a small guy. And he went in for the try with two or three men hanging off him. So Matty Wood appears to have been a good signing. They've got a couple of other players coming through. We've got George Antle, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. He was guesting for Western Vikings this afternoon. And there's a new man just turned up as well, Zach Wickman, come from North Island down there in New Zealand. And he was guesting for Western Vikings this afternoon. It remains to be seen how those two fit in. But George Antle looked very positive the couple of times I've seen him play in the Hartford Holmes Bank Shield. So things are looking up for Douglas, and they seem to be having plenty of strength bubbling away there on the bench as well.
Indeed. Then looking to Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire. Another tough day for Ramsey. This is a rearranged game. This was due to take place a few weeks ago, but thanks to Storm Amy, travel disruption put paid to this fixture. So rearranged for this weekend. Ramsey, a tough day at Clitheroe today, a 59-12 defeat.
Yeah, and when we look back at last week's results, Clitheroe ran in 102 points against Congleton, who beat Ramsey in week one. So Ramsey were always likely to be up against it on this rearranged trip. A last-minute injury to Kyle Schneer from the second row. Kyle having to be replaced last minute after a knock. He picked up a knock on Thursday. And there's another couple of players out as well. Josh Lease is out with a recurrence of a shoulder injury. And Jake Richmond has what we're describing as a hurty knee. I think he's given his knee ligaments a little bit of a tweak a couple of weeks ago. He's on the mend, maybe fit for Southern Nomads next week in the Cheshire Bowl. Alternatively, he may well be fit for the trip to Fleetwood, which is Ramsey's next league fixture, which is on the 8th of November. Today, though, it was Clitheroe picked up maximum points with a 59-12 win. Former captain Matt Meekin crossed for one of Ramsey's tries. Adam Dempsey scored the second, which is his second in two games. So Adam Dempsey going well. Now he's got a little bit of a run in the team in the absence of Jake Richmond, who's, as I said, picked up that knee injury. So not necessarily doom and gloom for Ramsey. The trip to Fleetwood potentially is going to be a bit more fruitful because Fleetwood have played 4-1-1. Ramsey at the moment played 5-1-none. So Fleetwood look to be having a tough start to the season as well. And there's potential there, I think, for maybe Ramsey to pick up their first win. But much will depend on the squad that's available for travel on the day, as always.
And just very quickly as well, just sticking with Ramsey again, just for the moment here, for they and Vagabonds, who incidentally don't have a game this weekend. Tough start to life this season, County Street, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire. How important is it that maybe Ramsey and Vagabonds can take the small victories from games? Of course, they'd like to get as many points on the board as possible. That's a given, but in a league with this standard and the challenge in front of them, how important is it that they take the small victories game by game to take it on over the weeks and months?
Yeah, I mean, picking up a bonus point is a big thing. Ramsey have managed to pick up two so far. Vagabonds have picked up three. Neither of them have picked up a win just yet. The league is a little bit, because it's the bottom league of the pyramid, if you like, it's all 14 teams have got to be shoehorned in, and there's a big gap in standards because of the pre-COVID. I'm not going to say civil war, that's far too dramatic, but there was a little bit of a split in the league in 2019-20, where we had 32 different clubs from Cheshire and Lancashire actually leave, and they set up their own league system in the Cheshire-Lancashire section. Because they're not in the English Clubs Championships anymore, we find that at the bottom level there is a little bit of a mismatch, and we're seeing that in some of the scorelines. The, you know, 102 points being run in last week by Clitheroe. There was another big score. Burnley beat Hoylake 99-0. And we're seeing scores like that popping up all the time. So it's nothing, I don't think, for Ramsey or Vagabonds to be disheartened about. This league's going to split into two mini-leagues after the first round of fixtures. Split's coming up sometime in December. And the second part of the season will see them play much more fixtures that are going to be compatible with their own playing levels. So the bottom seven will go into a little league and the top seven will go into another. And that will give Ramsey and Vagabonds a bit more of a run of fixtures where you're not going to see those big score lines. And hopefully that will give them, give both teams a little bit of a boost.
And the other game that took place today was the game that you were at today for us, Dave, on Saturday Live, the Hertford Homes Manx Shield down at Ballacilla Park, where Southern Nomads welcomed Western Vikings, and the visitors just about coming away with the victory by 22 points to 19. Was the game as to and fro as the scoreline suggests?
Not at all. It was a proper game of two halves. There was a howling gale blowing down the pitch. Southern Nomads had it in the first half, and at half time they were leading 19-0. When they turned round, Western Vikings had the win and had the wind, and they went one better. They scored four tries in the second half just to sneak the points. In the first half for Nomads, Mark Young, Connor Stevens and Jack Slight all went in for tries. Youngster Zach Hand added two conversions, and that gave them that 19-point lead at the break. In the second half, though, Vikings did go on better. Harry Goodwin got the first try. George Antle, guesting from Douglas, got the second try. Zach Wickman, also guesting from Douglas, got the third. That brought them back to 19-15, and it was only 3 or 4 minutes from the end before Joe Lowe, the prop forward, popped up to bag the winner. And Harry Goodwin added the conversion for that, not that it mattered too much. So Western Vikings pick up their first win in their Hartford Holmes Manx Shield campaign, and they get a bonus point as well. So the Nomads finished within 7, so they will get a bonus point from the game. So everybody went away happy, if not a little bit cold and wet, because it was horrible down there, I can tell you. I was shivering from start to finish. But no, it was all good fun, and congratulations to Western Vikings after their midweek speed wobble with personnel. Things starting to pick up for them, maybe.
Indeed. Well, Dave, I'm going to ask you just to stick around for a couple of moments, because we're actually going to turn our attention to a topic in Manx rugby that has emerged over the last week. One of the clubs that we've just mentioned actually has issued a passionate plea for more people to get involved with the team and therefore the sport more generally. Western Vikings is keen to hear from anyone who'd be interested in joining its ranks, regardless of experience. One of the current players, Ed Knight, is behind those efforts to get others involved, and he explains both Western Vikings and Manx rugby in general have been going through challenging times in recent years.
Well, I think in terms of the Isle of Man rugby scene, there is a depleting player pool. To address that, I think that there's plenty going on behind the scenes, with big shout out to Chris Hatton, who's helping with junior setups in multiple clubs. But in terms of a senior setup, we are, our player pool over the past couple of years has definitely been depleting quite a lot. There's been a lot of people who are, I suppose, getting older and kind of stepping away from the club, which is absolutely fair enough. We've got no qualms with that. There are, you know, certain people who are becoming less interested in the sport. Also, again, that's absolutely fair enough. The issue is people coming through from a younger age. That's what we really, really want to capture. That will help every club on the island. Specific to Western Vikings, we haven't necessarily had that many people joining the club, and that's what's kind of caused to a bit of a downfall, put a lot of pressure on people who maybe want to play a little bit less rugby because, you know, they've been playing for a good few years now. Bodies are aching. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to kind of get across. I want young, enthusiastic people who love rugby to get involved with the club, specifically the local clubs. There seems to be a low amount of interest for rugby within Peel, which I really want to kind of drive up, because there's definitely people out there who are interested. It's just finding those people.
You've mentioned a couple of the reasons as to why you think maybe the pool has diminished a little bit in recent years. What are the main challenges in getting people to come in and fill those roles?
I think there's a couple of reasons. For Western Vikings, there tends to be people coming to our training sessions, and because maybe there's only a handful of people that are turning up who are passionate about it, it's difficult to train with such a, like, rugby's very much a team sport. You know, other sports, football, cricket, for example, you can do more one-to-one training, whereas rugby, it's very difficult to do that. So I think when people turn up to our training sessions, when there's low amounts of people there, they tend to, like, kind of lose interest. I also think possibly due to the physicality of the game, people think that it's really, really scary. I've played rugby with some of the smallest people, some of the skinniest lads who are taking down some of the biggest lads. So I don't quite understand that one. But I think that's what people look at and think that, you know, it's scary. But there's so much outside of that. You know, there's a great community spirit. It really, really builds your confidence. There's a lot of lads who weren't playing a couple of years ago who have started playing, who have turned to me and said that they're a lot more confident outside of rugby, within work, within their friends groups, things like that. So I think that aside from those two qualities, I suppose the physicality and the lack of people turning up, it's got a lot of potential to grow and get people involved.
And I did see early this week a couple of quotes. Could be as serious as the club might have to fold. Is it as serious as that? Is that a reality you're having to face with the way things are at the moment?
It's not one we are seriously considering. I think that it's always looming in the background. I don't think we've properly addressed that as an option. It's never really been this bad, but we've been in similar positions in the past, and it's always bounced back, and we've always had, you know, a great lead up into Christmas or a great pre-season, things like that, that kind of bounce the club back, and then it kind of slows down and there's less people turning up to train and less people available for games, and so it kind of comes in peaks and troughs. At the moment, it's been like a steady decline. So that's why I put the shout out to say that unless we do something about this as a club, as a community, then it is going to fold. Without us being able to do anything about it, it will just naturally happen. And I really, really don't want that to happen.
It's not just the competitive side on the pitch as well, but the social side of things as well. Just how important is that side of it? It's not always about the result, but it's the community that you can be part of.
Yeah, it's massively important. The one thing, there's been a bit of a decline within rugby on the island since COVID. And the one thing that I mean, ironically, with the lack of players available to play for the clubs, you end up turning up, like me, myself, turn up to play for Nomads or for Ramsey. I also play for Vagabonds as well, who've helped out Vikings massively within our recent games. And without that decline, I wouldn't have made friends with all these people from different clubs. So it's made it very, very obvious how important that is to be involved with all the clubs, to get to know people, because without that those friendships and without that social side, Manx rugby's not going to survive.
For anyone who's listening out there and is maybe, you know, considering, well, actually, do you know what, I might give it a go, or just at this stage just wants to find out more details, how can people get in touch and potentially get involved?
In terms of getting involved, we train, our senior team train 6:30 at the, we've got a training field behind the swimming pool, 6:30 on a Thursday. Games are always on a Saturday. In terms of juniors, there is junior training from ages ranging from minis playing tag, which is, that kind of kicks off from, I think, around 9:00 on a Saturday morning until around 11:30, where the senior players will get involved. So yeah, that's our junior setup. In terms of getting in touch with us, we've got Facebook and Instagram. If you just search Western Vikings Rugby Club, you'll be able to find us there, and you can shoot us a message.
That is Western Vikings player Ed Knight, with the club issuing a appeal this week to get more players on board, regardless of experience. Anyone who wants to find out more details about getting involved or just wants to find out more information at this stage, you're invited to contact Western Vikings RUFC directly on social media via Facebook and Instagram. Well, just very quickly, we'll once again bring Dave Christian in on that one. Listening to some of the things Ed Knight is saying about not just the situation at Western Vikings, but the situation in Manx rugby as a whole, are some of his views, some of the things you would agree on or not?
Oh, most definitely. I played at Western Vikings in 1991, and the World Cup in 91 was in England. Final was at Twickenham. England lost narrowly to Australia. And the run-up to that World Cup, the RFU were doing a nationwide campaign called Recruit or Die, and they were trying to get clubs to be a bit more proactive in the way that they approached recruiting players, particularly at the younger age groups, and bring those through year by year, almost like a little conveyor belt throwing players off at the end. And the clubs that didn't do that at that time suffered a little bit. Now, Ed quite rightly pointed out that post-COVID things declined. Pre-COVID, sort of the 18-19 season, and the island, Douglas ran two teams, Vagabonds ran two teams, Ramsey ran two teams. So the Nomads ran two teams, and we also had Western Vikings and Castletown. Well, Castletown has suffered a little bit. They've not quite disappeared from sight, but they're playing a more social rugby, non-contact brand right now, with a hope to maybe bounce back. Western Vikings suffering a little bit, but the other clubs are as well, because we now see Douglas just managing now again to get a second team out. Ramsey have got about a team and a half. Southern Nomads maybe a team and a half. So things need a little bit of graft in the background, and Western Vikings put in, they've got their junior section out on Saturday morning. All the other clubs have their junior sections as well, so things will start to recover, but growth is going to be a bit slower than everybody needs, and from time to time your first teams may well suffer when it comes to senior men's rugby, but it's the nature of the beast, and as Ed quite rightly pointed out, it's the threat of closure or folding looming in the background, and that's sort of present pretty much for most teams. Probably Douglas, Vagabonds and Ramsey a little bit stronger. Southern Nomads have now invested heavily in their facilities down there. They've got plans to build a clubhouse there at Ballykillia. So things are bubbling away in the background that are going to make the thing more attractive. But there's some hard times ahead, and as Ed said, you need a little bit of work and get those junior players coming through. And as we think of it at Ramsey, at least, which is my club now, we think of our junior section as a little mini conveyor belt. And I think we've got three or four players come through it maybe this season. And if we can get three or four new players each season, get them involved with the game, get them keen and enthusiastic like everybody else, things will get better. But there's no magic pill to take that's going to cure things overnight. It takes a little bit of work and a little bit of time.
Dave Christian, thank you very much, as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
Very quickly, before we turn, and get my words out there, onto the hockey results throughout today, both on and off Ireland. A couple more full-time scores to bring you from the world of football. One that we were waiting on in our Dern and Drug Unlimited combination too. It's finished Ramsey Sentinel Boys 3, Douglas Athletic 3. So that meeting of second versus third today. Goal scorers for Ramsey Sentinel Boys. 2 goals from Evan Johnston and 1 from Jamie Bruce. So the spoils shared there in combination too. Elsewhere, full-time at the Community Ground in Burscough in the NWCFL Premier Division. FC Isle of Man have made it 3 unbeaten for the first time this season. They've beaten City of Liverpool by 2-1. First half strikes, 2 goals in 4 minutes from Joe Middleton and Dean Pinnington doing the damage. City of Liverpool did pull 1 goal back with 20 minutes to go, but were also a player getting a second yellow card. Murphy, City of Liverpool going down to 10 men in the final stages of that one in second half stoppage time. FC Isle of Man won't care. They'll be heading back across the water with 3 points. So let's quickly take a look at what's been happening with regards to hockey as well here on the Isle of Man. Just the one game in the mixed Premier League today. Backers B running out 7-0 winners over Castletown Southerners at Castle Russian High School. That means Backers B, they remain 6th in the table but move level on points with Vikings A in 5th, behind only on goal difference. Incidentally, there were due to be 2 other top flight games today. They have been postponed due to the Ireland senior teams being in action across the water. So the game's postponed. Backers A versus Castletown Celts, that's now been moved to Wednesday the 29th of October, 7:30 p.m. pushback at King William's College, and the other one, Vikings A versus Valkyries A, moved to next Tuesday the 28th of October, 8:30 p.m. pushback at the NSC. In Mixed Division 1, the early pushback at 11 o'clock was between Harlequins B and Vikings C. That match unfortunately had to be abandoned after 30 minutes due to a player injury. It's since been confirmed the game will be replayed in its entirety in future on a date to be fixed. And of course, we wish the player who suffered that injury a speedy recovery. Elsewhere at Ramsey Grammar School, the Mixed Division 1 leaders going into the weekend, Backers C, suffering only their second defeat of the campaign, beaten by 3-2 by Ramsey A. Sophia Cosgrave, Christine Kameen and Daniel Hurd with the goals for Ramsey. So that means Ramsey, they move to within 2 points of, 3 points of Backers C, who now dropped to second. Meanwhile, Valkyries B moved to the top of the table. They leapfrog Backers C after Valkyries B an interclub derby win over Valkyries C by 5-1. Mixed Division 2, Backers Mixed Colts were 2-1 winners over Ramsey Ravens. Vikings D, 3-2 winners over Castletown Cushags. Danny Kane with 2 and Ian Perry with a goal. Castletown Camags and Castletown Cosney postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. The other results in Mixed Division 3, Castletown Carrick versus Harlequin C, 2 goals apiece. Goals for Castletown and Marie Crompton and Chris Crompton Heavey. Valkyries D, 6-0 winners at QE2 against Vikings E. At the 12:35 p.m. pushback at NSC, Backers D were 7-3 winners over Harlequins D. And Backers Mixed Bucks with a big 8-1 victory over Ramsey Rookies. Cal Joyce with a hat-trick and then goals from Ryan Cartwright, Jasper Worley, Hope Lewis, Ashley Sandiford-Sykes and Sam Franklin. And in just the one game in the Mixed Under-15s League, Valkyries beating Castletown Sabres by 4-2. In the England Hockey Championships, the Isle of Man Men's A have beaten West Derby Men's First by 7-1 in the England Hockey Men's Tier 2 Trophy. Andy Whiting with a goal, Tom Burrows, Cal Gunyon and Jamie Brown, and a hat-trick for George Powell as well. The Men's Tier 3 Vars, Isle of Man Men's B, 6-1 winners over Goldbourne and Prescott seconds. Douglas Quayle with 4, George Ratcliffe with 2, and in the Women's Tier 3 plate, Isle of Man Ladies B, 4-1 defeat to Liverpool Sefton seconds, Liam Mellor with the goal. Well, finally tonight, we'll take a look at motorsport and to someone who turned plenty of heads on his Snaefell Mountain Course debut back in August. Road racer Eddie Warmold impressed at the 2025 Manx Grand Prix and went on to become MGP Newcomer of the Year. He's been speaking to Beth Espy on Manx Radio's Journey to a Dream podcast about his fast progress in the sport and his first MGP experience back in August.
It's been a roller coaster. We've had our fair share of bad luck over the years and sort of silly mistakes as you're sort of learning, but I've enjoyed it. I feel like I'm in a good place now. Sort of went through a couple of years of just sort of crashing my brains out, and that's sort of stopped now the last couple of years. So I feel like now I'm just sort of chipping away at my times and things, and we're sort of getting quicker and quicker, sort of on the short circuits and on the roads as well. So I'm really enjoying it.
And you know, it's a question I do ask quite often, and everybody's answer is slightly different. But I guess it's trying to get into the mindset of what makes you want to do something like this. What is it, Eddie?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. That's quite a hard question, really. I don't know. I think it's just sort of the thrill of it and everything sort of makes you want to keep doing it and sort of like challenging yourself, trying to prove to yourself that you can sort of do it and things like that. I've always found that the best way as well after crashing, sort of get straight back on the bike, you know, and try and get that confidence back, really.
Yeah, the confidence is a key thing, isn't it? And I think we can sometimes underestimate just how much of this sport is mentally driven.
Yeah, massively. I think that's actually the biggest part. I went through a couple of years, like I said, when I was having all those crashes, and once you lose that confidence, I found that was actually the hardest thing to get back, just sort of knowing that you can do it. And yeah, surprising how much of an effect it actually has on your riding, really. I feel like last year sort of got that confidence back, and then we've been getting on all right this year. So,
and who are the riders that you've been sort of watching over the years, particularly if you think about the mountain course? Presume you watch on boards like most people.
Yeah.
Do
yeah, it's got to be Michael Dunlop always. The way he rides, his determination, obviously everything he's been through, and yeah, just sort of everything, really. I think obviously he's the man to beat, and he's the one that you sort of want to look at.
And it's interesting actually, because everybody has their own style, but is his one that you feel that you can copy to a certain extent?
Not sure about that. I'd like to think so, but he is on the limit, isn't he, everywhere. So yeah, that's one of them things I don't think you can really teach, but I'd like to think so.
And have you met him yet?
I've seen him about. I wouldn't say I've sort of met him and said hi to him and things. I've seen him at the Manx, obviously, when he's in his awning working on his bike and stuff like that, but I've not officially met him.
It's really weird, isn't it? I think when you hear these names so often, they are almost like superstars within the sport and whatever, and it must be quite a thing when you're just starting out, as you are really, seeing those people whose names you have been following.
Yeah, it's quite funny. When you watch them so much on the TV and things, like interviews, I feel like then when you see them in person, it's not as like blown away, if that makes sense, because you're so used to watching them. So like at the weekend, we went to the BSB and we were sort of stood next to John McGuinness and Dean Harrison, and you can just talk to them as if they're just like everybody else, you know, when actually they're obviously all top TT winners and everything. So,
and that's the lovely thing about this sport, Eddie. I think there is a genuine sense of camaraderie in the paddock. I know people are really supportive if anyone's got any little issues that they can help out with. And that's what's really lovely about it.
Yeah, no, I've found that is a big thing in the sport. Like club racing, BSB, even like when I was at the Manx and stuff, if you're ever in need, you can just pop into people's gazebos and awnings and things, ask for help, ask for a hand, and everyone's always happy to help out and lend you tools, lend you a hand and everything. That is also a key thing, going to a sport when you've got sort of a nice friendly people around you, you know.
Manx Grand Prix 2025. Just take us back to when you first put that entry in and how that all worked, and when you got the news that, first of all, your interest had been accepted.
Yeah, so I actually originally put an entry in for last year's Manx, but didn't get accepted. So we then tried again this year. I think I probably put my entry in, I'd say probably December time, something like that. And we didn't actually originally get accepted for the 600, which is the bike I ran at club racing, and the bike over the last few years I've sort of spent money on here and there, sort of getting it ready. So we didn't get accepted on that. Someone then sort of said to try and put an entry in for the twins. So you stuck an entry in on that, got accepted, but then it turns out the twins that I have that are in bits in my garage were actually too old to run. So then we got put in contact with Ian Locker, who sort of saved us a bit and obviously gave us the opportunity to ride on the pattern, which was absolutely mental week. And then went to the Southern 100 and had a reasonable result, and then got the message 4 weeks before that I could then run the 600 as well. So it was sort of all hands on deck trying to get that ready then for 4 weeks, 4 weeks time.
And you know what, if we're talking about names in the sport, Ian Locker, obviously more than 40 years experience, we know he's now retired from road racing, but he's still going to be there managing the people on his team. What sort of advice was he giving you?
Everything. he even sort of helped me out at the Southern, actually, but he took me for some laps. He was sort of helping out braking markers, turning points, you know, things to look for, which then real helps when you're on the bike, because you know, when you're hurtling down some of those straights and through those corners, sort of having an idea of already what to look for can just sort of really help and just take a bit of the stress off. But and then even just sort of little setup things, you know, not to sort of drastically change too much. And yeah, he just sort of just helped everywhere he could, really. It was really good, actually, and so did his team. They were massive help, especially in pit stops and things as well.
And you can listen to the full extended episode of the Journey to a Dream podcast on that interview with Eddie Warmold at manxradio.com. That's all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified this evening. Many thanks for joining us. All that's left for me to say is have yourself a wonderful rest of your evening and a wonderful weekend as well. But until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.